Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, July the 5th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. So excited to have our good friend, Mr. David McCurley, in the house with us this morning. David, how you doing?
I am great. Blessed better than I deserve.
I heard that. Aren't we all just to be living in such a great country and a great celebration as the country has their 250th anniversary, birthday celebration, whatever you want to call it. Just feel like there's a lot of just, man, good old patriotism, good old red, white, and blue feeling out there, isn't there?
There is. And, you know, I had the opportunity last weekend to go down in Florida and visit a friend of mine in the Villages. I've never seen a community, village, whatever city, whatever you want to call it, that was as patriotic as what I seen there. Never. I mean, it was unreal.
All in.
Yeah. And this is a great weekend, you know, yesterday being the 4th of July and everybody celebrating with food, friends, family, fireworks. But you have to remember that God was the one that gave us this opportunity that many men and women sacrificed that 250 years later, we still live in the greatest country in the world.
Man, there's no doubt. And it was founded on that principle of freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of authority, freedom of all that. And God gives us independence, not only in our country, but also just in life through Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that today and just having some fun with Mr. David McCurley, longtime radio legend here.
Don't use the word legend. I think a Larry legend with Larry Bird. I'm nowhere near that, but I have been able to been blessed to be able to sit behind a microphone for 40 years almost. Man. And it's been challenging at times, but it's also been very rewarding. People, you know you as a voice, and you see them around town in places at ball games and grocery stores or whatever, and it's just, you know, it's very rewarding.
That's so cool. Man, so glad you're hanging out with us today. We're going to get to know Mr. David McCurley a little bit better. Most of you guys know him. Been around, like you said, 40-plus years, and just honored to have him. You know, we laugh about that, but I had an old weld engineer I used to work with. His name was Dave Letourneau, and I would introduce Dave every time just to get this rise and joke out of him. But I'd introduce him to the customer. I go, this is Dave Letourneau. He's our welding expert. And he'd say, no, an X is a has-been, and a spurt is a brief moment in time. So I don't want to be that. So there you go. Shout out to Dave Letourneau. Hey, going to take a break here just for a second and be back on the other side with Mr. David McCurley on Sunday morning. David, we were talking earlier off the air, just, you know, every week trying to just share a scripture and an encouragement on the show, because that's really the heartbeat of what this is just trying to encourage people and let them know whatever they're going through, it's going to be all right. And, man, you've just always got a smile on your face. And you mentioned you had a verse, a life verse you'd like to share with everybody.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll say thank you for that compliment. I try to walk around and be productive and be energetic if I can. My mother, she just turned 84 years old last month, and she's doing okay, but got some health issues. But she was the one that always drug me to church, and when I was old enough to, you know, to walk. And she's stayed with the same church. It's gone through some hills and valleys, and to be honest with you, it's grown. It's gone down to a little of nothing, but now it's a great, thriving church. Her pastor actually lives right across the road from me, next to Jeremy, so we're all neighbors. And but my mother has stayed the course over almost 60 years at that same church. And but anyway, I found the Lord young and got baptized there at Marble City Baptist Church. And but I'll tell you, growing up and going to college, you know, we all, you know, have to stay true to our faith. And, you know, I guess I was shortly married when I realized that there was one verse in the Bible that that stood out with me. We were, you know, having KJ was very, very young and went on a Promise Keepers trip.
Promise Keepers. Bill McCartney.
It's actually, he was there and was speaking at the one that I was at.
Is that right?
It was in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
At the old pyramid.
Yeah.
If you remember that.
Now, Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah.
I think it's one of
yeah.
those now, but yeah.
And one of the verses there that weekend that I really held firm to was Joshua 24:15, where, you know, he was speaking and, you know, at the very end of this verse, it's choose you this day whom you will serve.
Mm.
But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Right.
And that's the way I wanted my house to be. And of course, we were very involved in church, and KJ gave his heart and life to Jesus at a young age. And so that verse really resonates with me. No matter whom I'm around, I don't try to force things on people. I let people know what the good Lord has blessed me throughout my life. But like I said, choose which God you're going to serve, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But for me, I'm going to serve the Lord.
I love that. I mean, and I think that's just a great reminder of it's a pretty simple process, right? I mean, or mm-hmm. it's a pretty simple message. It's you know, in life, I talk about this a lot. When it becomes about Shaw, when it becomes about my selfish desires and what I want, and my life usually gets so screwed up. But when I focus on the Lord and serving Him and serving others, and man, because, you know, when you serve the Lord, it's that selfless, that grace-filled attitude of putting everybody else before yourself, you know, and just that servant-hearted, that, you know, I'm going to, and you do that, man. You're a great example of what I know about you. You're just always upbeat. You always got a smile on your face and like, we're going to get through it. We're going to figure this out. And man, I just really have admired that quality about you and want to tell you, I appreciate that about you.
Well, and I thank you for those kind words, but I will tell you this, we are also very blessed to have Shaw Gage. You know, it was really kind of funny how Shaw came into this, and you all know the story, but when I met him and he came here, we're blessed to have you, and just a wonderful show that you share with people throughout the radio. And I'm just telling you, a lot of people don't realize this. Somewhere, I learned this at a very young age, somewhere somebody is listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what time of the day is it, listen. Greg Wyckoff and I, whom you came to know through this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to share this real quick. We did a playoff baseball game one time in high school on a Friday night that got rain delayed and everything. We got finished with game two at 3:15 in the morning.
No way.
Yes, wow. On Saturday morning. Greg and I packed up all the equipment, went to Huddle House and ate, and got home when the sun was coming up.
Man.
Okay. At church, and I'm sitting there thinking, ain't not anybody listening to us at 2:15 on a Saturday morning. I get to church on Sunday morning. I had at least five people say, man, that last game was great. Man,
really?
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Stayed up and listened to the whole thing.
And I also listened to James Spann one time say the exact same thing. No matter where you are, what time of night, day, well, whatever it is, somebody's listening to you.
I like that.
Somebody out there.
That's true. And James Spann, by the way, we may do a segment on him, but that joker knows something, man. He's always got his finger on the pulse of whatever's going on.
I can share a story with that. I know him very well. And something that a lot of people don't know about James Spann, one of the most incredible Sunday school teachers you will ever know.
I've heard that.
With kids and youth, he is very drenched in the Bible and knows it forward and backwards, and he's just a great man.
James Spann, man, when I think about growing up here, I'm 52, and man, I want to say I remember when he kind of came onto the scene, but I was such a young kid. But James Spann has just always been a staple as far as the Birmingham weather scene goes. And so, God bless James Spann. We appreciate
you. Greg's had him on this show before.
Has he really?
Yes.
Cool. We're going to see if we can do that here on this one. Get an update. Where are they now? You know, maybe now that he's all big and famous. No, he's been that way for a while. Hey, we're going to take a break real quick. Come back with Mr. David McCurley on Sunday morning. Back in with Mr. David McCurley on Sunday morning. So blessed to have you, David. We're talking about this in an earlier segment, but I read this major cheat code for life. I read online the other day. It said this. It said, learn to delay your reaction. Anger, fear, and impulse will try to make you move fast. There's power in pausing. In the pause, you will see clearly. You respond wisely, and you avoid decisions you'll regret. Slow down to speed up.
Yeah, that's great, because if you slow down and think about what you need to say, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to say something that you shouldn't say. And that's kind of slowing down to speed up. And we all live in a very, very fast-paced world, okay? It doesn't matter. We run to get something to eat. We run to do this. We got to do this. We got to get back to work and take the kids here. And, you know, all of these things are in a very fast-paced world. And I was telling you about former Major League Baseball player Darryl Strawberry had a friend of his that shared this with him just a couple of days ago about Father's Day. You know, just being passed, and said there was a father, a friend of his, that came home, and his son actually met him at the door and gave him a big hug. Son was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and said, "Dad, I want to ask you something." Said, "How much money do you make an hour?" And his dad said, "Well, why do you need to know that?" And he said, "Well, I was just curious. I want to know how much money you made an hour." And turned around and walked off and never seen anything else. And so a couple hours later, they're getting ready to eat supper, and he goes up to his room, and he asked him again. He said, "Son, we're about ready to eat." And he said, "Dad, how much money do you make an hour?" And now his dad's curious. "Now, I want to know why you are asking me this. Why do you need to know that so bad?" And he said, "Well, I just need to know. I was just curious. See, I wanted to know how much money you made an hour." And his dad turned and looked over there on the little child's dresser. He had a pile of money. He said, "Well, whose money is that?" And child said, that's my money I've been saving. And I wanted to know if I could have $100. And his dad said, "Well, I don't know." And kid asked him again, "How much money do you make an hour?" And he said, "Well, I make about $100 an hour." And his son asked him, said, "Well, can I borrow 50 then?" And his dad said, "Well, why do you need 50? You've got money here." And the little kid was counting out the money on the bed. And his dad said, "Well, I guess I can give you $50, but I want to know what this money's for." And he said, "Well, you make $100 an hour. I've got 50. If you give me 50, can I buy an hour of your time?"
Oh, man, wow.
How powerful is that?
That's very.
I mean, you know, we don't think about it in that, you know, in that realm. Mm. We're just so fast-paced. Kid wanted to buy an hour of his time.
Yeah, just to slow down and hang out with Dad.
Absolutely.
Gosh, wow.
Think about that.
That's convicting, man. But you're right. I mean, we don't. You know, our generation was blessed. I mean, I remember we used to complain as kids, "Man, I'm so bored." And then my mom's standard answer was always, "Well, here's a broom, go sweep the driveway." You learn not to say that anymore, right? But nobody gets bored anymore. These kids, and ourselves included, we've always got a phone in our hand. We've always got a, you know, conversation going through text or on that phone or through email. We're always working. We're never off. You know, COVID gave us the excuse to all work from home, which we all thought was really nice. But now some of us can't turn it off, you know, and it's always there, and that ding, you hear it, and it's so. I read an interesting article not long ago about how it's just good to just decompress and get outside. And I had a good friend in our small groups that meets on Sunday nights that she shared something about a year and a half ago, and she said, "When's the last time?" She asked the whole group this, and she goes, "When's the last time you just went and sat on your back porch or your front porch with no phone, no radio, nobody, maybe your dog, because they don't mess with anybody. But you know what I mean? And just sit and enjoy God's creation and just soak it in." And it was a great challenge for me as a man, as just a person, a busy person, to do that. And I'm going to tell you, I've been doing it. I'm not saying every day, but I try to several times a week go sit on my back porch and just listen to the birds chirping and, you know, here lately, feel the heat and the sweat, you know, because that's about all that's out there right now. But just, man, our brains need that reset, do they not?
One of the things that I remember from my childhood growing up with my grandfather, I'll tell you this, after he retired, he farmed and grew watermelons and cantaloupes and probably serviced about every grocery store in the southern end of this county with watermelons and cantaloupes. Well, as cousins, we would all go down once a week, help him and my uncle. We'd ride over to the field. We'd load the truck up with watermelons and cantaloupes, and they would take off. But here's where the kicker was. He would take one of those huge watermelons and set it in the creek as they were leaving for the first time that morning. Mm. so it would get cold.
Oh, wow.
And our gift was that evening, he'd chopped that thing open for all of us cousins, and we sat around eating what. I don't know that there's anybody that has, you know, memories like that where there's no phone. My granddad had a TV. It had two channels. It was either 13 or Meet the Press or PBS. I mean, that's the way it was. And I can also remember when he would get me up early in the morning before daylight, and he would give me a Maxwell House coffee can.
Oh, man.
Send me to the chicken house to gather all the eggs in a basket to give those to grandmother, and then go to the back of the chicken house and dig up worms and put them in that coffee can. And when we got through eating breakfast, we would ride over to the pond and fish till lunch and catch brim, and that's what we had for supper.
Man.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Take in those things that God put us here for. Mm. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with having technology and phones, and it makes our life so much easier, but it also makes our life messy.
Yeah. You know? And distracted, right? I mean, it's just there's so many distractions. There's no conversations like we're sitting here in the same room having conversation face to face, man to man, eye to eye, but it's that is a dying breed. That's not happening. Yep. Because most of the time when I'm talking to people right in front of their face, they're sitting there texting as they're doing. If it's business related, we overlook it, but it's almost like, well, wait a minute, I'm a human being and you are too. Let's put those phones down and have a conversation. So speaking of that, we're going to continue this conversation on. It's a pleasure having Mr. David McCurley in house today, and thanks for listening on Sunday morning. We're going to be back here on the other side. Back in the house with Mr. David McCurley, local legend, sports, high school sports legend, radio broadcaster, 40-plus year. Thanks, David, again, for coming in. So glad to see you today.
Well, it's great to be here. Shaw does a great job on Sunday mornings, and love being here. It's been a long journey for me. You know, we talked about just a few moments ago about loving your neighbor, and we've also talked about what anger does and being slow. Listen, over my years of doing morning show and sports broadcasting, I'm sure I have said some things that have rubbed somebody the wrong way. Now, I pride myself and try to be in a position to where I don't want to get Radio Alabama in a lawsuit. You know what I'm saying? I really and truly try not to say anything derogatory about any kid, any referee, any sponsor, anything. You know, I want to do things in a positive way. That keeps the train going, if you know what I mean. But I will tell you this, one quick story. About a month and a half ago, I had the pleasure of working with Jacob Bassett, who does our Fayetteville sports network here. And Fayetteville made it to the 1A state championship in baseball back at the toward the end of May there. And we're broadcasting the games against Hubbardville and up at Jacksonville State, game 2 and 3. And of course, Fayetteville got really close, and God love them, they couldn't close the deal, and Hubbardville came back, give them credit. Tell you something I've never had happen, okay? I've had the opportunity to do state championships in football, basketball, girls basketball, baseball, you name it. I've been blessed with schools around here over many years. But about a week and a half after that loss to Hubbardville, I get a phone call. And it came through the radio station, so I said, somebody there's got a problem. Who is this? So I wasn't able to answer it live, but I did go back and listen to the voicemail a couple minutes later, and it was the head coach from Hubbardville. Now, I want you to remember that these guys had their own radio station there covering the games as well, and the NFHS was actually doing it with Eli Gold, because he is the voice of the Jacksonville State Gamecocks now.
Right.
And that's where the games were. So he was actually doing the broadcast for the high school association. Well, Coach Brand called me and wanted me to call him back. And I said, oh, I've done something wrong here. What in the world? So I called him back. Nicest guy you've ever talked to. He said, listen, I just want to tell you how you and Jacob were so he called us by name. How you were so professional and how that broadcast was so good, even though we knew you were Fayetteville announcers, you gave our kids credit. You gave us as much love as you gave them. And I want to know how we can get copies of this.
Wow.
And I'm like, that blew me away. I've never had that happen from an opposing team.
Man, that's cool.
I mean, that's pretty cool. And a lot of credit goes to Jacob. I let him do the play-by-play that weekend because he's learning and doing well with it. And the Fayetteville folks just, you know, of course, we broke the internet on those two games. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
On a stream for sports on one of our channels, just like here, you can only have like 800 listeners. There was probably 2,000 people there from Talladega County watching the games. And then on the stream, I kept getting my phone blown up saying, I can't get on. I can't listen. What do I do? So I contacted Lee. We had more listeners than the internet would allow. He had to put us on 4 channels.
Really?
For people to be able to listen, which is a great problem to have.
Sure it is, yes.
And never had that happen in all my years of doing it. Of course, now technology, you got to remember, the first time I ever did a ball game on the radio for football, I carried a Marty, which was about a 35-pound, still looked like a stereo, that you had a long cord that put to an antenna outside the press box. And it was like one of those deals where turn it this way just a little bit, you know, hold it right there, you know. And seriously, you had somebody back at the station that would tell you that you had no phones, no cell phones.
Yeah.
They would tell you when to go, and you had to have a watch to know when you took a break to just pray that they got the commercial on and turned your – so you had to be totally quiet during commercials. Not like that now. I mean, we control everything from the stadium.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, it's just wild. So I mean, I've seen a lot of things. I can tell you some stories too.
Did you ever have to use a coat hanger for those antennas?
Oh yeah, aluminum foil.
Yeah,
coat hanger. Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, we've been through some. I'll tell you another funny story when we move on, if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll do that one in the next segment. But just talking about that real quick. But technology, kids today, get off my lawn. I sound like that old guy in the corner. Get off my lawn, kids, and you kids and your rock and roll. But, you know, like the kids today don't understand that. It wasn't a struggle, but, you know, that's kind of the punchline. The struggle is real. But, like, man, we didn't have, like, these flat screen TVs and 172 channels, and like we had 3 channels, and then when channel 21 came out, it was like we got a 4th channel, man.
Right.
We thought, oh, here we go, man, the revolution is happening.
I will say this real quick. College football, I mean, it drives everything around here. You and I, of course, an Auburn fan, and listen, when I was 6 to 10 years old and really started understanding football,
yeah,
you might see 3 of the games all year.
Maybe.
That's how I got interested in this with Jim Fife and
Charlie Trotman.
And year out and all of those guys.
Man.
I mean, it's amazing.
It is good stuff. Having a good time hanging out with Mr. McCurley this morning. Going to take a break real quick and be back on the other side here with Mr. David McCurley on Sunday morning. You know, David, I think it's so cool being 4th of July weekend and, you know, a lot of patriotism out there. We talked about that in one of the earlier segments and just, man, makes me have good feelings of being a kid and, you know, it's a different country now, I know, but we're still the United States of America. But just that sense of USA and just pride and being proud of our country. But I read this quote the other day from John F. Kennedy, and we were talking about it off air, but I just thought it was a good one that I wanted to share with the audience, just for all of us to dig a little deeper and take a little more accountability in this thing we call the United States of America. But it said this, it said, "Let us not despair, but act. Let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. Let us not seek to fix the blame for the past. Let us accept our own responsibility for the future." That's former President John F. Kennedy said that. And, man, that just cuts straight to the bone, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if there's ever a time where this country needs to be united, it could be now. You know, I remember, and Shaw, I know you'll remember this, but it's funny. I have a morning show on our country station, Kix 100.3, and Alan Jackson, big country star from, you know, 80s and 90s, and Let me tell you something. He performed for his last time a couple of weeks ago.
I saw
and, that. It was great to see that, but everyone remembers. If you're 25 years old or younger, you're not going to remember what I'm talking about. Hmm. But if you're 25 or older, everybody remembers 9/11. Okay?
Oh, man.
And that song, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning? Now, for me, in my lifetime, and I'm sure probably you too, that was the one thing that brought this country together. I don't care whether you're white, black, another nationality, what state you're from, what religion you believe in. It doesn't matter. If you lived in this country and you're a citizen of the United States, that day you understood, hey, we got to come together. I don't know, Democratic, Republican, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We need to come together. And I mean, and it's just like the song said, the world stopped turning for
it
us,
really
y'all.
Did. Oh, it
I
did.
I mean, it really did. And I think about that because, there are other events. Of course, I never lived through World War I or World War II. I'm so appreciative of our veterans and what they've done for us. But I got to tell you, that event changed everything as far as us coming together. But politically, Democratic, Republican, there's so much out there now that divides, okay? They even try to get division. I mean, one is saying this about the other party, and we can't move forward because this party's doing this. And you got, I hate to say this, but Ronald Reagan, to me, was one of the best presidents that I've ever lived through.
I agree 100%.
And when he stood up and spoke before Congress, he was applauded by both parties. They got things done. Mm-hmm. It's no different now. Times have just gotten out of hand.
Well, it's all of our responsibility, right? Because it's that car crash mentality. Everybody wants to slow down and look at it. You know, there's a documentary out there. I saw it years ago on PBS, but it's on Netflix right now. I can't remember the name of it, but it's about the 1960 election with John F. Kennedy. And it was TV was coming into play, and ABC News was just barely hanging on. They were bankrupt. They were about to go under, and they were like, "We don't have anything else." They had a young news executive producer that was over the news broadcast, the national news on ABC, and he had an idea. And it's a very intriguing documentary. Everybody should watch it because it's the forefront of where we are today. But in the 60s, he said, "I got this idea." And he invited William F. Buckley, who was a leading mover and shaker in the conservative movement, and wrote a lot of articles. I remember reading them a lot, in the New York Times or whoever it was when I was in the papers as a kid, when we still had newspapers, right?
Yeah.
And they invited Gore Vidal, who was more of a liberal, mm-hmm. democratic side of things. And they put them on the stage together, and they started debating. And it took off. And it was not arguing, but it was strong debating. And it was, this back and forth. And, man, before they knew it, they had a gold mine because it was like people wanted to watch that friction. They wanted to watch that car wreck, if you will. And so I'm not going to spoil the rest of it, but go watch it because it's a very intriguing story, just how it all ended up and what happened with those guys. But then you think about it, Fox had Hannity and Combs, and,
yeah.
That was a good show. It got me interested in watching some of that stuff. But now it has just become, me and my dad were talking about this not long ago, but it used to be you had Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw, or Dan Rather on this evening news growing up, and you got the news. There might have been a little bit of a slant, but you got the news. I mean, what was going on the world stage and all that, and the political stage and all that. But to your point, at the end of the day, people would come together, shake hands, mm-hmm. Sit down, have a drink, have dinner together, and they could agree to disagree. Now it just seems there's no dignity, there's no respect, there's no no grace for anybody that disagrees with anybody.
And when you use the word grace and you think about people who just don't want to give in, I want my point of view. My point of view is the correct one. And when I'm not going to change and not going to veer off, I think back to what I learned as a young kid and it stayed with me through church when Jesus was on that cross, and the same people who were following him and him doing miracles, Same people were mocking him, spitting on him. And what did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. We need to think about that. Mm. When that person is sitting next to you and he's arguing, he or she's arguing with you, they want their point. Their point is this, and it's going to be the right one. You just have to pray and say, forgive them. Maybe we can come together and find a solution in a common ground. Mm. You know, that word common ground is uncommon nowadays.
It is definitely uncommon. I like that. That's a good word. You know, my brother, I've got an older brother. He's 2.5 years older than me and love him to death. But, you know, when we were growing up, man, we were brothers. We fought.
You know,
went well into our 20s. I'm not ashamed to admit.
I had one 2 years older than me. He still wants to whoop me sometimes.
But as we started turning into dads and having kids, and, you know, you start going, wait, we got to grow up here a little bit. But we decided, you know, we sat down and had a long conversation, and we just decided our mantra became, I'd rather win a brother than an argument.
Absolutely.
And so I still want to make my point. I'm still selfish. I want to be right and all my pride, I think we're all like that. It's just who we are as human beings. But at the end of the day, when I catch, we talked earlier in one of the segments about pausing, about just, you know, when I catch myself, you know, that half second before I respond, man, okay, it's not that big a deal. Is it really that big of a deal? Because whatever comes out of my mouth next, if it's derogatory or mean or revengeful or whatever, man, that could set a relationship back forever, you know?
Yeah,
so why go through that negative energy?
And when you come through relationships, let me tell you something, and this has been mentioned in several movies. I remember it from a country music movie, Shaw. He said, you know, pride is one of those seven deadlies. I mean, that pride will get in the way of things, but it'll also do you in.
Oh, yeah. It's that selfish pride, that selfish, look at me, but, you know, back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the segment with all the division and all the angst in this country, what's the message that news media, social media, corporations, advertising, media, everything is pointing to you, me, I. Like, it's that selfish. I pick on Burger King all the time because what's their slogan? Have it your way.
Have it your way.
You know, it's where we are. So Burger King society. But
now they say you rule.
I saw that. I was like, I got to change my speech, but I'm glad you said that. So
no, I mean, you're right. They still say have it your way, but they all say you rule. I don't want to be a ruler.
Yeah.
The only one ruler I wanted was Jesus.
Yeah, it's amen. Well, I am glad Burger King did. I've heard they're making a comeback. I haven't been in a while, but I'll pledge I'll go try a Whopper again. But I did. One thing that put me over the hump saying I'll at least can attempt it is they got rid of that creepy looking king mascot.
Oh man,
that thing was horrible.
He looked like something from one of those horror flicks.
I didn't want to go to a Burger King just because I might be creep out around the corner, David. Oh my goodness. All right, well, hey, hope you're not a Burger King or I ruined that for you, but hey, give him a shot. They got a new CEO and I think he's trying to get rid of the green burger or the recycled burger or what. Hey, anyway, go get you a Whopper and tell me what you think. Happy Sunday, everybody. We'll be back here in just a few on Sunday morning. David, it has again just been so fun hanging out with you today. And look, David, for those of you who don't know David, you know, the first couple of shows that I started, I came in here going, I've never been to a radio station. I had no clue. I still don't know what I'm doing. But a year and a half in. But David, you were so gracious to me, so I want to thank you for that. In the first couple of months, you would come in here and sit with me patiently and say, okay, we're going to do the recording, and you did all the producing and all that fun stuff. And so I really appreciate that because it really gave me that confidence and that know-how to be sitting where I am today. So thank you for that.
Hey, you're doing a great job.
Well, I'm just trying to learn from you guys. You know, my whole story is, you know, sometimes God just directs your paths. I'm nobody, but just, you know, years ago, I told the Lord, yes, wherever you want me to go, send me. And where there's people hurting, I'll tell them my story and I'll encourage them. And here we are. That was 2009 when I made that commitment, January 20th of 2009. And, you know, here we are, what are we, 18 years later? And man, God just continues to expand the territory. Prayer of Jabez, you know, Lord, enlarge my territory and all that kind of stuff. So, again, it's not about Shaw. It's not about anything me. It's all the Lord is just directing my path. And I want you to know that if you're hearing my voice right now, this could only happen because I had a friend tell me, a coworker tell me this. He goes, Shaw, I've been listening to your podcast, your radio thing. He said, it's good. He goes, but, like, where did you learn how to do it. And I said, man, I'm just having a conversation with people. There's no training. There's no, right. I said, the only thing I ever heard with radio in my history is, you know, I use the Rodney Dangerfield bit. As my family always told me I had a face for radio, you know? So, but in all seriousness, it just, when it fits, it fits. And there's people that have been working in college and trying to get their foot in the door to try to have something like this. And for me, it just, man, I like to talk. And just through Michael and yourself and Lee and everybody just welcomed me with open arms. We said, let's try something. And I want y'all to know, this is just me talking, but man, I feel like I'm conduit, and I try to just get my heart right each and every week when I come in here and pray and say, God, use me. And if there's one person, you mentioned that earlier, that if just one person hears it, if one person smiles from that silly joke we told in the last segment, or one person is encouraged, man, that's what it's all about. And so I just wanted to, man, thank you for welcoming me, but also I wanted to give you a shout out because, man, you're usually on this side of the microphone and you're usually painting that picture out there on the ball field or making people laugh or asking those questions. And so I just appreciate you being willing to come in and let me have you sit in the other chair and ask you some questions and just really just have a conversation. But man, just thinking about your career and what you're doing. And my one of the things I was thinking about this week, getting ready for this, was just going, man, what is it that drives you, David? I mean, you're just such a happy guy, man. You're always got a positive attitude and you're always just a team player and just upbeat. But man, what is it at the end of the day, man? When you wake up in the morning, those feet hit the floor. Like, what is it that drives David McCurley?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I appreciate that. And I will tell you, doing this for a long period of time, as we've mentioned before, one of the things that I learned very, very early in this profession from a good friend of mine who did this and is still doing some of this, when the first football game I ever did, first of all, and I'll tell you how God was entwined in this, a good friend of mine asked me to come on with him and that other guy, both of them, and to be the statistician, maybe come on a little bit at halftime, maybe do a little bit in pregame, postgame, whatever. And I did that for 2 years. And then my best friend, who asked me to come on the broadcast with him, got called to ministry and went to seminary in Louisiana. Okay, so when he left, Jimmy asked me, "Why don't you just move up into the color role? You're ready." And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." And right before we did our first game, he said something to me that has stuck with me for a long period of time. He said, "No matter whether you're doing football, volleyball, whatever, if it's a sporting event on radio, you need to do it like you're talking to a blind person. You're painting the picture. Sure, you can have fun and you can, you know, cut up and have a good time and be professional. But at the end of the day, your job is to make sure that somebody that can't see what you're seeing, you're providing them with that." Well, I went on, and my high school football coach that I was a manager, and he took me to Auburn and introduced me there to some people and got a managing scholarship there. But Bruce Evans, who was the head football coach at Sylacauga High School for several years, and he had something up on the board. Now, he was an academic All-American at Auburn, defensive back, but just devout a Christian man. Got started with the FCA here and just blew up. But here's the thing. He had something on the board many, many times that I saw. 30 years later, when I now have been doing broadcasts for 28, 30 years, I met a man up here in Childersburg, still the head basketball coach by the name of Johnny Johnson. He has Gerald Wallace, who is 14-year NBA veteran, as his assistant coach, and they have something on their wall that is the exact same thing that Bruce Evans had on the bulletin board in the locker room 35 years ago. I want you to listen to this. These are 10 things for an athlete that require no talent, okay? Be on time. Make an effort. Being high energy. Having a positive attitude. Being passionate. Using good body language. Be coachable. Doing a little extra. Be prepared. And have a strong work ethic. That's for athletes who think, "Well, I can't make that football team. I'm not that good." If you do those 10 things, I promise you, not only will your coaches, your teammates, your friends notice that, But God will notice it too, and he's going to bless you.
Mm, that's good. I like that. Well, and you're going to be a part of that team. You know, you may not be the starting quarterback or the leading 3-point shooter on the team, but that's that coachable. That one, I love that one. It's one, I think it was the fourth from the last, but it said be coachable.
Yeah.
That's something I've always told people, you know, my own sons, my students, my athletes, when I coach, co-workers, sales guys today, anybody, like, just be coachable. Don't walk into those situations thinking you know everything, because what does that create? That creates that selfish mentality. And when it comes to sports and teams and locker rooms, man, you got to get rid of that team. I mean, you got to get rid of that you know, what's it, that old, you know, there's no I in team.
Well, yeah, and I've been blessed throughout many years of doing this to where the people that I've worked with have also had the same faith that I've had. They believe in Jesus Christ, and I've been blessed with that. I mean, I don't run across too many people who are on the other side of the fence with that and don't want to hear it. I don't throw it down their throat, but I will tell you this, a guy by the name of Jeff Pascal was my color guy for many years. We did Mountain Brook football for several years, and I will tell you this quick story. We were going over, and I won't call the school's name, but we were going over to do a road game. And back then, we had to be able to hear the station in order to know when we were on for commercial, knowing that our commercials would play.
Oh, okay? Wow. Yeah.
So I argued with our owner of the radio station that we were not going to have a signal there. How are we going to do this? He said, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Perfectly good signal. So we get there, and the only place you can hear a signal is in the car. We're up in the press box, okay? Let me tell you what we did. The third part of our broadcast team, who was our sideline reporter, had one of the first cars that you could crank remotely.
Okay.
He was also, his job was a regional sales consultant for one of the cellular phone companies. I won't mention their name.
Okay.
So he pulls his car up behind the press box, and every time we're going to break, we crank his car remotely and had it on the radio station to where we could hear it through a Walkman radio in the press box. I've done a lot of things to make things work.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing about it. You got to be thoughtful. You got to have the kind of know how to do things. But at the same point in time, you can do things on a broadcast without having, you know, you don't have to be Keith Jackson.
Right.
You don't have to be Brent Musburger or whoever, you know. Just do the best job that you can and present something out there that people are going to be compelled to listen to, whether it's sports, whether it's this, whether it's morning show on the country station. Hey, I have a lot of fun, and I probably said things on my morning station that probably get us in courtroom somewhere. But, you know, just the main thing is to know right from wrong. And if you are entrenched in the Word of God, right from wrong seems to come a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. Sure does. I'm a firm believer in what you're saying, man. I think you do that, and you treat people right, you work hard. Man, I think you know, God will bless that. But it starts with what you just said, just honoring the Lord. And just, again, I'm not a preacher. I'm not here to shove it down people's throats. I'm just here to go, man, I'm a guy trying to figure out life. And I'm blessed to have a guy like you coming in and other people coming in each and every week when we do interviews. But just, man, we're all walking through this thing called life trying to figure it out. I don't have all the answers. Nobody does. Billy Graham didn't have all the answers.
No.
But that's what makes it life. And that's what, you know, when we just walk through it with that Eeyore mentality, look, there's bad things that happen to people, and I get it. I'm not judging anybody. But when we choose to proactively to have that Eeyore attitude of that victim mentality, that, oh, poor me, there's certain situations those attitudes are reserved for. And, you know, when you have a bad health diagnosis or a job loss, I get that. But that's a short-term process. And we need to start approaching life. And this is what changed for me when I started looking at life and go, man, I'm going to treat every day as a field trip. Where am I going today? Who am I going to meet? And what am I going to learn?
Yeah.
And I think when you do that, man, I think it just makes it a whole new deal.
Well, and I talked about the Word of God. What is one thing you talked about going on that field trip? What is one thing when you go or anybody goes, the one thing that is a stumbling block for every human being is darkness. Mm. You don't know where to go. You don't know how to go. Well, everybody said, well, I just get the phone and then turn my phone. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the ways, decisions you have to make. Yeah. One of my very best friends right now has just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Mm. And, you know, I'm trying to cover him with prayer. And he's good. But here's the thing. When you're trying to go on that path, Sean, what does God's word say? My word is a lamp unto your feet. Mm-hmm. Follow Jesus' word. I try to tell everybody now, you probably remember when you used to take a trip with your parents, what was the one thing you had in the car? Atlas roadmap. Yeah. I mean, those are gone. You got GPS now on your phone. I get it. But my thing is let God's word be your GPS. Mm. Let him be Siri.
Yeah.
Let him be your road atlas. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%.
God's word is a map directing us where. Now, do we always take that right step? No.
Yeah.
That's why we're human.
Yeah.
That's why there's only one of him.
That's exactly right. I heard somebody say years ago, you know, with raising kids and families and doing all that, and you go, well, I wish there was an instruction manual for this thing. I go, there is. It's called the Bible.
That's right.
Like you said, you got to stay in it to know where everything is. So, well, hey, cool. We're going to take a break here in just a second. Be back finishing up with Mr. David McCurley on Sunday morning. Coming back in here in the last segment with Mr. David McCurley. David, man, we're just going to let you freestyle on this one, man, because I've been kind of hogging the questions. No. I know you're used to this side of the microphone as well, but, man, you mentioned there's a couple things you wanted to share with our listeners.
Yeah, one thing, and I've done this a time or two, but I want to mention, and I know your work schedule, but one of these days you're going to get down there, but we have a men's Bible study. It is a small group, but if it gets large, that is God's blessing. Listen, it is called In His Grip, and it is for people who are interested in golf, but you don't have to be any way interested in golf or involved with it, but the GRIP part of it, Shaw stands, the anonym is G is for God's Word, R is what it reveals to me. The I is for how are you going to implement it, and the P is for prayer, always covered in prayer. And we have the luxury, and I'm going to say this, that the owner of FarmLinks is one in our group.
Okay, cool.
So we meet at the clubhouse of FarmLinks every Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Can I tell you, there is nothing in this world better than sitting in the clubhouse there, looking out over that course with the sun and the birds, and you talk about it all the time. But then opening up God's word is very, very casual. I mean, you're not going to be asked a quiz. You know, it's just very good.
Just guys doing life.
Absolutely. And we want to invite anybody who wants to come on Monday mornings at 7 o'clock. We meet at the clubhouse. When you go through the guard check there, you just tell them you're with the group. Bible study, and you'll be fine. But also something else I wanted to share that we don't think about a lot. We talked a little bit in this program, Shaw, about loving your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Do you know your neighbors? And I'm not talking about necessarily the one that lives right next door to you, but one thing I want to share that, you know, we've gone through a pretty hard heat wave this week, and it's continuing today. We're up in the 90s and things of that nature. A lot of things that are forgotten about are people in their 70s, 80s. You think about people like my mom and stepdad who live on their own. I go over there every day. But you need to check on especially elderly people. You need to check on your pets.
Yes.
You know, make sure they have plenty of water. Your next-door neighbor may be 35 years old, and he's going out in the bass boat yesterday or today, whatever. That's all fine. But there's somebody you know, whether it be through your church, through your neighborhood, whatever the work case may be, check on them. They may not have any family. You know, make sure their air conditioner's working. You know, change the air conditioner filter for them or whatever. Yep. You know, make sure they got plenty of water.
That's
and not just
one.
Water, but things that they need, things yep. to drink and eat. But especially our elderly folks, we forget about that in the summertime. You know, we want to, and don't get me wrong, it's important at Christmas time that we feed the hungry and all the things that we do as far as providing meals. But people forget in the summertime, in June, July, and August, it's pretty rough in Alabama, and you may not see her for 2 weeks.
Right.
Well, has she fallen and she can't get up?
Or, right.
You know what? Be the hands and feet of Jesus.
I love that. That's a great word. And, you know, we in Tennessee, we used to do a lot with the school. We would go serve in the soup kitchens and the food pantries and the homeless shelters. And they would go, hey, this is great. And we're really thankful. But it gets, you know, we get really inundated in December and January, and then we don't hear from anybody for 10 months.
Right.
And so that's a good reminder just with that kind of stuff, too. And go support your local food pantries, too, because there's homeless people and less fortunate that need it. Hey, you mentioned the heat out there and the heat index and all that. I did just read this past week that the gentleman that invented the heat index actually passed away this last week. He was 94 years old, but they said it was more like 106.
Wow. Yeah. you know.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I'm
sorry.
You know, I mean.
They might pull the plug on me now.
No, they're not going to pull. Listen, I always wonder about the heat index, which, you know, because you got the wind chill.
Right.
Well, what makes the heat index? There's no wind.
Right.
Why does it make you feel hotter than it actually is?
You know
what I'm saying? That don't make sense to me.
It doesn't, but I just know in the South, it's just hot.
It's just hot.
Heat index, my first earliest remembrances of the heat index really coming into my life was probably in the 93-94 season. I was doing landscaping with some guys. And I remember James Spann, we were talking about him earlier, but the old heat index came around. We were going, we knew it was just hot. But, man, we sat down and listened. It's the first time ever that heat index was like over 110 degrees for like 2 weeks straight. I mean, it was July, August. I mean, just, and we're out cutting grass and trimming bushes. I mean, just dying, right? And, but what we started doing was we would get it to the job site. We would be on the first job at 6 a.m. cutting grass. People may have been unhappy with us cranking mowers at 6 a.m., but it was too hot. I don't care. We were not happy in the middle of the day. Cut grass starting at 6 a.m. We'd worked about 10:30 in the morning. And we go over to Mr. Narrow's. It was an old restaurant, a little meet and three over there by Eastwood Mall. And we'd pick up a plate lunch. And we'd go over to one of our coworkers' parents' house over there on Sharpsburg Drive. And they had a basement downstairs. And they would keep that air conditioner cranked for us. And we would just go in that TV room down in that room. We'd all eat our plate lunch. And we'd have like a 3 hour just eat lunch, nap, enjoy the air conditioner. And then we'd go back out at 2:30.
You didn't want to go back to work.
Well, we didn't, but we would. We would go back out at 2:30, 3 o'clock, and we worked till dark, you know. And just that was the only way you could survive it. So all y'all out there that are working in the heat, you know, I'm with you, David. Water, 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 Gatorade, all that good stuff. Make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Can I tell you one quick thing about James Spann?
Absolutely.
James Spann is the most incredible guy, one of very, very strong in his faith and a very good Sunday school teacher. Let me tell you this about him. I was watching severe weather one night, and there was a tornado that was coming just south of Sylacauga, and many of our listeners will know exactly where I'm talking about when they hear this. It was coming through a little community down here called Stewartville, and for years down there, it's been gone for, well, it's not gone, but it's changed in the last 25 years. There was a place called Dark's Dairy that had a cement block milk carton that was painted with their logo on it, Dark's Dairy, for years. James Spann said on the TV, he said, now, this is coming through right about, if many of you know where the old Dark's Dairy milk carton was, and I'm like, how in the world does James Spann remember all this? You want me to tell you why?
No.
He can quote scripture like that, too.
Really?
That's my point. God has blessed him not only to be the best meteorologist we've probably ever known around here, but he also can remember scripture like he remembers places in this thing. He does that for all over the state, not just Stewartville, south of here. And I will tell you this real quick. We were at one of the Alabama Broadcasters Association award ceremony one night, and one of the guys come up to accept his award. And when he did, he said, I don't know if any of you have checked your phones or anything, but I think we're in severe weather because James Spann just took his coat off. I see the suspenders. We all laughed. He's a great man.
He is. That's awesome. Yeah, that guy knows it, man. I mean, whether it's weather or breaking news, I mean, you know, Domtar recently shut their doors. I mean, he broke the news and people found out from James Spann. So, God bless him. I mean, he's been a trailblazer in this area for a long time, but those are fun memories. But anyway, David, man, we appreciate you coming in, taking time out of your busy schedule. And man, it has just flown by. It doesn't seem like we've been here as long as we have, but that just means we're going to have to do it again real soon. And,
absolutely.
Man, thanks again for coming in, hanging out with us. And man, look forward to hearing your broadcast as we get it. Yeah, man, football season's not that far away, is it?
6 weeks.
Is that all we have?
From this last Friday night on July 3rd. 6 weeks starts the Jamboree football games in the middle of August.
Wow.
Okay. We never played a football game until after Labor Day.
Yeah, we didn't even think about going back to school until after Labor Day.
No. Right?
So, well, hey, it's it is what it is. So, hey, start getting ready. I mean, you never can. Get your gear, get your tickets ready and all that fun stuff. It's going to be another fun year.
They say there's two seasons in the state of Alabama. Football and getting ready for football.
I like that. I like that. Well, you know what? Let's do that. Before the season cranks up, I know you're going to start getting busier and busier, but I'd love to have you come in before the season starts. Let's talk about the local teams and what we're looking at as far as what we can expect.
We may even pull Greg Wyckoff in here because he's one of our voices with these high school sports, and we'll get this room filled with people and we'll have some fun.
Let's do that. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Thank Everybody you. Have a good week. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning next Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 106.5, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.